So our subject for the year is the basic principles of science of mind, and we're studying Dr. Frederick Bale's books, 12 Lessons from the Home Study Course. And that is it's a wonderful book, and it's such a powerful intention. And when Judy suggested it, I was at the place where we'd been doing angel qualities for a year, and we had a really airy-fairy year last year, and Judy is very focused and likes traditional science of mind, and I thought, I don't think I can go there for every meeting. So we're going to bounce between the serious focused lessons from the Science of Mind book and the intuitively inspired airy-fairy stuff that our guest speakers like to do and that I like to do. And so that's what we're doing today. So when I found out I was speaking this month, I thought I'd be speaking next month, but I needed to trade with Carrie because she couldn't be here today. And she and Brian are celebrating their like 25th anniversary or something like that today. They've never been married, but they've done 25 years one day at a time. It's pretty awesome. So I found out I was speaking, and I spoke last month, and so I thought, okay, I have no idea what I'm going to speak on, but the universe is unlimited. Any possibility exists. And so I asked in meditation, and the answer I got was speak on core strength. And I thought, there's hardly anybody on the planet who's done fewer crunches than I have. I don't abdominal muscles are not my strong suit. What's the point here? But I thought about it. I thought about strength and strength at the core. And Abraham Hicks has talked about, people have asked them about core beliefs and how do you change your core beliefs that aren't serving you. And Abraham's answer to that was really powerful. So let's start with that. To think about what psychology talks about as core beliefs and then think about it from a spiritual perspective. So this is what Abraham said about it. So what happens over time is you'll have an experience with someone and it will get your attention. You will think about it. You will talk to others about it. You will get it going pretty strong in your vibration. Then you have a sort of upheaval where the whole thing breaks apart. You move into another phase of your life, sort of reeling from having had this experience, usually still talking about it, still remembering it. It's good dinner time conversation. It's good as parties. It's always fun to explain. Because you keep it active in your vibration, you attract it again. And when you attract it again, now it gets your attention until it doesn't take very many cycles in your life before you have some pretty strong impressions that are affecting you in a pretty powerful way. And then you sit here at the workshop and you say to us, Abraham, I'm wanting to do something about my core beliefs. And we say your core beliefs, those beliefs that came from source energy within you, are about thriving. They're about clarity. They're about empowerment. They are about your worthiness and your value. Your core beliefs are not about deficient things. You pick those up on your physical trail. So what they're saying here is that you have the experience that comes to you because of some limiting belief that you had. And then you face that experience, you talk about that experience, you pay attention to that experience. And so law of attraction brings it to you again and again. And you believe that it's true because you see the evidence of it in your life everywhere you look. But it's only true because you believe it to be true, because you pay attention to it and you keep attracting it. It isn't intrinsically true. It isn't true at the core. So today we're going to talk about what's really true at the core. What is the core all about? And Ernest Holmes said, when I looked up, he didn't talk about the core, but he talked about strength. And this is what Ernest said about strength. We can free ourselves from a feeling of approaching fatigue by knowing that we have within us always immediately available an infinite strength. As we allow the thought of this to enter our consciousness, we feel strong, vital, and equal to any emergency. The power within you is the same that holds the planets in space. The power back of your word is perfect law and is fulfilled and returned to you as your perfect strength. The strength always exists within you. I hope you don't mind me telling a story on you, Carlo, but Carlo told me that one day, he works here in the hotel, and he was feeling very tired because he has twin babies that have been up all night. And he was in the kitchen, and he had work to do, and he was just feeling so tired. And he had pictures of his baby on the wall in the kitchen. And he looked up at the babies, and all of a sudden, he was strong. Because the love within him, the core of love within him, gave him strength. And whatever helps us access that core of love and strength and peace and beauty, that's what we need to do in order to find that essence of life as we move through life day after day. And as I started with the prayer this morning, I said, the infinite presence, the love is a constant. What changes is our awareness of the presence. Our focus shifts. But we can make the choice at any time to shift our focus back to that core essence, that love, that peace, that strength, that power that is the essence of who we are. And that's where our ultimate strength lies. Yeah, sit-ups help. You know, as we strengthen our the physical core, we're more balanced, we're more in harmony, we're able to move more easily. But as we strengthen our spiritual core and we exercise those muscles that allows us to access that divine presence more and more easily, then we find it easier to bounce back when we have those moments when a limiting belief brings us some contrast into our life that we don't want to deal with, we wish we hadn't had to deal with. But if we have that centering presence, that core strength, we can find our balance more easily, whatever's happening in our lives. The way Abraham said it, they said, you live in a pulsing, vibrating universe of advanced harmonics. And that at the very core of your being, you're vibrating at what could only be described as perfection in vibrational balance and harmony. There is perfection at the core. And in my prayer this morning also, I quoted the blessing from I Remember Union. Flo Avila Magdalena wrote this blessing for a baby, and it says, you are light, and light you shall remain. You have chosen to come into form. You have chosen this form. You are light, and light you shall remain. And I look at Carlo, and I see the form of the babies and the light that they shine. And we are still all that light. That perfection that it's so easy to see in the infant still exists in all of us, no matter what decade we're experiencing. The younger people and the older people, the light is still there. We have that light within us to shine. And as we focus on that core strength, as we allow that to be the essence of who we are, then we shine that light in the world, and other people respond to that light more and more powerfully. I didn't plan to tell this story, but for some reason it's coming to me right now, so I'm going to tell it. I am obsessive about video games. Maybe some of you know that about me. It's probably a surprise to a few. But there's a game called Whoop-a-Roo Mountain that I've been playing for a few months, and I'm now number 16 in the world. Wow. in this game. I love this game. And when they built this game, it's a game about peace and generosity and relationships and making friends. And when I started to play it, I looked at it and I thought, this is a prosperity game. This is a game that helps you get in touch with the idea that you always have something to give. Because every day in this game, first thing in the morning, you get over 60 gifts to give to your friends. And so every morning when I play the game, I go visit 60 people and give them a gift. And it makes me feel like Lady Bountiful. You know, I feel like a philanthropist playing this game. And I've been inspired playing this game, and I've created relationships where within the game I see people from all over the world. There are people from Argentina and Hong Kong and Korea. The game was developed in Korea, and it's available in like 12 languages. And there's people from Europe, and there's people from everywhere in the world. And I don't speak the languages of some of those people, but I can give them gifts and receive gifts from them and feel a connection. And I also have found some people who speak English, and I've been able to be a loving support to them when someone dies in their family or whatever happens. There's been a way to make a connection. But the whole reason I'm telling you this story is that I got a letter from a text in the game from somebody last week. And she said, you don't even know who I am, but I see you every day as I play this game, because there is this something called a portal. And when you go in the portal, you choose some friends to go in the portal with you. And if you choose people who are high-ranking friends, higher-level friends, you get better presents when you go in the portal. And she was so cute, she called it the porthole. She said, I take you into the porthole with me every day, and I'm sure the fact that I get such good results is because you go with me. And now that I'm number 16 in the world, I'm a very high level. And I have 500 friends in the game. That's the maximum number of friends you can have. And it could be that 400 of them take me into the portal with them every day. I have no way of knowing that. But it really was galvanizing to me when she said that to me, because it hadn't even occurred to me that there were people that were benefiting from my friendship that I wasn't even aware of. And what it showed me is something that David Hawkins talked about in Power Versus Force, that other people have talked about, the value of high-frequency beings on the planet, people who are exuding love, people who are shining their light, people who are smiling at strangers. Those people who are living peaceful, loving lives, are making a difference at a level that no one ever sees. The difference in consciousness, as you go by somebody at a bus stop and you say a quick blessing for their lives, just to see them happy and uplifted and healthy, or to say a prayer for somebody who's had an experience that has been difficult for them. All of those things have a benefit that we have no way of seeing from our physical perspective. And I was so grateful for that lady for sending me that letter, because this game has shown me the value of the higher frequency experience. What you are giving in your life, you'll never know the results of until after you make your transition. And suddenly you will see your life from that broader perspective, and you will see the blessings that you gave unawares. And isn't that a powerful thought? Blessings unawares. We are who we are. We are the light in this life. And somebody hears your music and thinks about it a few days later with gratitude for someone who has given something to them in their life. And that's a blessing unaware for you. You have influenced who they are, and they have brought you into their experience in their mind. And we are so connected at that level of consciousness that we aren't aware of, but we can become more aware of that core strength, of giving from that love, of being that divine presence, of sharing the truth of who we are at such powerful and wonderful levels. So as we come into this knowing, we want to live that more and more fully. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we live it more fully? And this is what Abraham said. Oh, we know how much you would like others to side with you. Courts and rules, laws, mates, friends. We know you seek their support. You would like them to side with you in defense of your position. We know how that feels to you. But we want to say to you, look nowhere for upliftment. Look nowhere for support. Look nowhere for understanding other than the core of that which is you. Look first to the center. And then everything out there will begin to reflect that relationship that you have with the divine within you. Because you attract the best from other people when you're living the best of who you are. And we can't change them except from the inside out. As we change our frequency, what we receive from other people change. And so we have to be the first one to change. We have to be the first one to open up, to be loving, to forgive, to let go, to breathe and relax and trust that everything will unfold for good if we just go back to the source. If we just find the love within us, we allow that strength that is the core of our being to shine in the world, then the people that we encounter are at their shiny best in that moment. They may not be at their shiny best all the time, but they're at their shiny best when we see them. Or at least at that place where they're asking to be uplifted and we're able to give them a little helping hand. We don't attract them when they're at their worst as much anymore as we once did because of our previous patterns of experience. Life becomes a series of exquisitely beautiful moments and some contrast. Because the contrast never goes away. Abraham said last week, the contrast that you hate is exactly what you asked for the clarity that you want more than life itself. So sometimes something seemingly bad happens, and yet it was something that really helps us be clear about the direction we really want to go in. So we stop condemning ourselves for experiencing the bad stuff and ask ourselves, okay, that's clearly what I don't want. What is it I do want? I want to return to the love. I want to work from my strength. I want to live in shining my light. I want to be a blessing to everyone I encounter, or at least as many who are willing to let me in that way in their life. And others, I bless them on their way. You know, there's nothing I can do if somebody isn't open to who I am and what I want to give. If there are some people I have nothing to give to. That's another thing I've learned from my game. Some days I only have one thing to give left and they don't need it. You know, this person I want to give something back to, they don't need what I have to give. So I give them a thank you or a hint. I try to make a connection with them because they made a connection with me. And so I allow the relationships to be valuable to me. And even though it's virtual, I take it as an opportunity to love, an opportunity to express something in to someone in Holland or Sweden or Argentina or Korea that is gentle and caring and generous. Even if I have nothing physical to give, I can give a blessing or at least a smile. Oh yeah, I see that person. I like that person. I smile at that person. And some of them actually friend me on Facebook, which is fun. Had a young man from South America friend me on Facebook the other day. It's a cool thing. So how do we do it? How do we look for nowhere but the core of our being? Well, I have two suggestions. One is from Ernest Holmes. The other one is from me and the beloved and inspired by Abraham Hicks. So the exercise we're going to do in the second half of our meeting today is an extension of an exercise that I've been doing for a while that I kind of invented about leveraging our emotions so that we feel more and more deeply positive emotion. And that's what we're going to do in the second half. But in the few minutes I have left, I want to do what Ernest Holmes suggested we do in connecting with our strength. And this is a little meditation. So if you want to just close your eyes and relax. Ernest called this stretching the mind. He said the intellect may analyze, dissect, accept, or reject, but there is an intuitional faculty back of the intellect that knows more than the intellect. We do not all grab it right up like that. Therefore, we have to train the intellect to reach a place where it receives this greater illumination. And that's what I mean by stretching the mind. It's a practice of identifying ourselves with a larger life. This was the genius of Walt Whitman. It's what was called by Buck illumination of cosmic consciousness. The intellect identifies itself with the spirit until it makes possible a greater influx of the spirit into the intellect. There is one life. That life is God. That life is my life now. And as we sit here, that life, that light, is manifesting itself as us. How wonderful it is to know that we do affirm it, we do accept it without effort, and we rejoice that it is so. So let's, for a few moments, practice together what I call stretching the mind, identifying ourselves with a larger good. There is one life. That life is God. That life is my life now. I am one with the beauty of life. I am one with the wind and the wave. I am one with the glory of the sunset and the beauty of the sunrise. I am one with the song of the birds. I am one with the mother holding her child. I am one with the babe drinking from the fountain of life. I am that which thou art, eternal spirit, forever blessed. Thou art that which I am, perfect presence, divine expanding within me. I am one with the vast throng on the busy street, one with the silence and solitude of nature, and the strength of the mountain and the peace of the desert. I am one with the rain and the snow and the clouds and the sky and the life in the ocean. I am one with the lover, one with the beloved. All are encompassed within me. For now, what we are doing is identifying ourselves with the eternal living presence within all things. We are one with that. That is what we are. I am that which thou art. Thou art that which I am. Eternal presence, forever blessed. Eternal peace within me. Forever I shall be, encompassing planets and universes and time and space and the heart of God. Now may the light of the eternal God be with us. May that light go before us, surround us, penetrate us, live as us. May the love of God and of each other encompass and enfold us. In eternal peace abide with us forevermore. I think that's one of the most beautiful things that Ernest Holmes ever wrote. It comes from his book, Ideas of Power. Stretching the mind to encompass the divine as the truth of who we are. We are that. We are. So that's one how. I have a couple more minutes, so I want to talk just a little bit about emotion, because the exercise we're going to do in the second half is to connect with the second how is about emotion. Abraham said, when you have a belief that the behavior of others must be controlled so that your observation of good behavior will make you feel good, leaves you feeling vulnerable to other people's behavior. We would like to help you understand that neither the good feeling you find when you observe wanted behavior, nor the bad feeling you find when you observe unwanted behavior, is actually the reason you feel good or bad. The way you feel is only ever about your alignment or misalignment with Source within you. It is only your relationship with the Source within you that is the reason for the emotions that you feel. While it is nice to find things in your physical environment that enhance your good feeling alignment with your inner being, your understanding of why you feel good will make it possible for you to feel good regardless of the behavior of others. They're now calling that unconditional love. Love regardless of the conditions. Finding a way to stay in the feeling of love no matter what anybody else is doing around you. So Abraham said, understand that the way you feel is really about your vibrational relationship with Source within you, with the expanded version of you who resides inside you and gives you complete empowerment and absolute freedom when you can feel the way you want to feel regardless of what everyone else is doing. And so the exercise we're going to do in the second half is based on finding an emotion that feels good, that's easy for you to feel. And sometimes when you don't feel good, it isn't easy to find an emotion that's easy to feel good about. So I made you a list. I have a long list of positive emotions that you could look at to see what you might be able to feel good about in a moment. And feeling good feels good. Feeling good feels good. There should be plenty for everybody. So sometimes you can access most of the good feelings on the list. Sometimes it's hard to find one that feels good. But the process that I want to explore with you today is the idea of raising your vibration on something that feels relatively easy. So for me, it's relatively easy to access relaxed. I like feeling relaxed. So that's a pretty straightforward one for me. I also like feeling confident. Those two are pretty easy for me. So the way I raise the vibration on any emotion is I start with I want to feel confident. I'm willing to feel confident. I'm eager to feel confident. I love feeling confident. I've been playing with this, I want, I'm willing, I'm eager, I love for quite a while, and I use it for a lot of different things. But I want to feel, and then an emotion that's easy is a way to gain momentum on good feelings without conditions out there having to change. Nothing has to change. I can do this within myself. So this week, as I was meditating on doing this talk, I got another extension of this process that I've been doing for a while. So let's try relaxed. I want to feel relaxed. I'm willing to feel relaxed. I'm eager to feel relaxed. Oh, I love it when I feel relaxed. And here's the new part. And when I feel relaxed, I also feel calm. When I feel relaxed, I also feel serene. When I feel relaxed, I also feel peaceful. When I feel relaxed, I also feel at ease. When I feel relaxed, I also feel free. When I feel relaxed, I also feel open-hearted. When I feel open-hearted, I also feel friendly. When I feel open-hearted, I also feel free. When I feel open-hearted, I also feel warm. When I feel open-hearted, I also feel loved. When I feel open-hearted, I also feel loving. When I feel open-hearted, I also feel friendly. When I feel friendly, I also feel generous. When I feel generous, I also feel hospitable. When I feel hospitable, I also feel welcoming. When I feel welcoming, I also feel happy. And so I took something that was easy to get to, for me, relaxed, and I leveraged it all the way to happy and friendly and hospitable. Does that make sense? The positive emotions gained some momentum. I raised my frequency using something that was simple, and then it just kind of expanded. So when you get to, I love feeling this thing, and you really feel a shift, and I can hear it in my voice. I don't know if you can hear it. Let me do one more. Maybe you can hear it. I want to feel playful. I'm willing to feel playful. I'm eager to feel playful. I love it when I feel playful. And when I feel playful, I also feel giggly. And when I feel playful, I also feel joyful. And when I feel playful, I also feel free. And when I feel playful, I also feel open. And when I feel playful, I also feel frisky. And you may notice that there's a category for playful here. And the other words come easier once I've leveraged the easiest one in the category for me. I can access some of the other feelings that allow me to explore the idea of feeling independent of the conditions out there. And that's a way to get to your core strength, to be unconditional in your ability to feel good no matter what's going on out there. And when you start feeling good in here, you start attracting things out there that are going to feel good in here. And that's ultimately our core strength. We have the ability to leverage our focus, leverage our mind, so that we focus on that which feels good, which allows us to connect with Source, which gives us access to the light and the love and the peace and the power and the beauty and the health and the prosperity and the grace of spirit right here in form. Yay! I'm really excited about this. I taught this new process to two clients this week, and I saw one of them yesterday, and she said, I was doing it with my friends yesterday. And I thought, yay, that's the best. So So that's what we're going to do in the second half. But right now, we're going to take a break.
Thank you.
Thank you.